Good afternoon. We're continuing our study. We are entering into the consciousness of Joel, who wrote or had transcribed this book, A Parenthesis in Eternity. In addition, we are coupling that with looking into the book of John, the beloved disciple. This was the disciple that was the most advanced, if the two were the same. He was the most advanced. He got it. And if you read the book of John and you have any spiritual discernment, you'll see. You'll see things that you never saw before. So let's start with chapter 4, The Journey Within. I'm going to read parts of this, so don't get excited. If you want to follow along, you'll have to jump around like I am. Okay, the person who is one with God is merely the transparency through which God is living its life. He does not have a life of his own, a mind of his own, or even a body of his own. His body is the temple of God, and his mind is the instrument of God, the mind which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind can be attained only in silence, not with words or with thoughts. Now, you've heard me say this before. I said it last week, and it didn't seem to have much of an impression. I didn't hear back from anybody until I requested that they respond. So I'm thinking that you didn't get this the way I got this. Because I sat down into meditation. I sat down and went into meditation, and I heard, "Ye must be formed again." And I sat up and said, "Wait, what? What? Yes, ye must be formed again. Not born again. Ye must be formed again. Wow. Wait a minute. Is there any corroboration for that? Yes. Here's Paul's statement. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do you, what does that mean, transformed? I looked up the word transformed in the Webster Dictionary, and it says to change the form, change the appearance. An example is as a caterpillar is ultimately transformed into a butterfly. And the second definition is to change into another substance. We've heard that before, haven't we? To transmute, as the alchemist sought to transform lead into gold. And so, be ye transformed means be ye formed with a different substance. Now, the substance that has been the form of our experience is the human mind, and the human mind is world mind, and the world mind is illusion. So when Joel starts this chapter with the paragraph, and in it he says, he does not have a life of his own, a mind of his own, or even a body of his own. And then he tells you, the way to attain that is in silence, not with words or thoughts. So I say that's pretty well supporting what was received in consciousness. Be ye formed again. You're formed right now of mental images. Matter, says Joel, is an illusion. There is no matter. Matter must be eliminated. That's in his own words. Mary Baker Eddy says mortality is a myth. And we read that and we look at that and we skip on over that. And yes, isn't that nice? I'm really a spiritual being. And yet we're not expressing that spiritual being because we're not a spiritual being. Not until we come into the realization consciously. And this we do through meditation, through silence, not with words and thoughts. So you can't read a book or even a chapter. You can't read a book such as The Mystical Eye and come away and say that you have now a realization of spiritual identity, because you don't. If you have a realization, you are formed again. An example would be, once I understood and received in meditation, I love that word received, because it means you're not dreaming it up, you're not thinking it, it's given to you from consciousness, from Christ, from the Father within. And once you receive the realization that companionship or the comforter is omnipresence itself, you are never alone again. You can go anywhere in this world, and that realization will form itself as some sort of companionship out here, at least appearing out here. It's actually formed in your consciousness and then appears. Same thing with supply. Once you come into the realization that your supply is infinite and it never runs dry, because it's not your supply, it's God's. When you really come into that realization, it will manifest. It will take form. You won't make it take form by repeating statements of truth all day. You'll enter the silence without words or thoughts, and you will receive the realization. Supply is God's, or as Joel did, I am supply. I, the eye of my being, is supply. When you have that realization within, it will appear out here as abundance, never running dry. And finally, when you have the inner realization of life is everlasting, it's a well of life springing up into life everlasting. When you really have that realization, not the words or the thoughts about it, not another book about it, not another teacher saying it, not another talk, but the inner realization, then it will appear as manifestation, as form, as a new form. And you'll say, wow, I have a new set of lungs, I have a new heart, I have a new toe. You see? Do you see? Please see. I want you to see this. You must be formed again, not from thoughts. You must be formed by consciousness, which is without hands and is eternal in all of the heavens. You can only receive it in silence. You can't do it. The truth you know with your mind will not do it. You have to be formed by I, the I within you. And whether you call that I God or Father or Christ or the Presence or Tao or just I, whatever you call it, you must receive from that I the realization. You don't get it through thinking. You don't get it through words or thoughts. You receive realization from I. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And Joel says, I stand at the door and knock. Who is this I standing at the door? And at what door is this I standing? At what door but the door of your consciousness? I stand at the door of your consciousness and knock. But you must open the door and admit me, for I am the way. You get that? I am the way. Now, our ultimate teacher, our master, Christ Jesus, he was the first one to discover this. He was the first one to discover how to come out from the dead. And the dead are those that are human beings formed of thought. It says here in Revelation, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And so if you are a human being and you are walking in a world formed by words and thoughts, by world thought, you're walking in an illusion, and therefore you are dead to reality. You are the walking dead. You are the one that Jesus referred to when he said, let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me and awaken. Awaken, thou that sleepest. You sleepest, you dream. So how do you awaken? How do you let this I form itself? Well, we're going to get some tips today. I hope we have enough time. All right, so in The Journey Within, Joel says, without the practice of meditation, a spiritual teaching, whether pursued under the guidance of a personal teacher or through the study of books, it descends to a purely mental exercise. So, if it's a mental exercise, it's thoughts forming themselves again. We have to go further. We have to. And we have a chance in this lifetime. He says it is in meditation. It is meditation that makes a teaching come alive. Because meditation is the connecting link between our outer life and our inner self, which is God. Now, he just dropped a bomb there, and if you're not paying attention and you're just reading along like it's a novel, you don't get it. What did he say? He said it's the connecting link between our outer life and our inner self, which is God. He just told you your inner self is God. And I'm telling you, you must be formed by God, not by mind. So he says, here's some more tips how to do that. When we sit down to meditate, we must seek to hear only the word of God, desire only the feeling of God's presence, only the reestablishment of ourselves with our inner source, and nothing beyond that. That's all you're allowed to meditate for. When the Spirit of God takes over in our consciousness, it fulfills itself at its own level. And that fulfillment may carry us into a new country or into a new career, such as painting. He calls it artistic here, but that's what he means. Painting, or a sculptor, or music. So, that person that said they were feeling the nudge to paint, that's wonderful. Paint, and I hope you can take a picture of it and show it to us. All right. With each meditation, he says, there must be the surrender of ourselves to the spirit within. You see, we're coming to the well of consciousness. right? Yes, right. We're coming to the well of consciousness, and we must be silent and wait for that I which is knocking at the door. That I is sitting on the edge of our consciousness, on the edge of our well, and we must surrender to that I. We are in meditation for the express purpose of receiving the comfort of His presence. There are several words that keep repeating themselves over and over and over again. We must receive His presence, and then His presence forms itself. We must be transformed. We must be formed again. And when we feel that presence, that comforter, He says we relax in it, and we have nothing more to do than to let there be light. Let there be light in our life. Let there be love. Let there be health. Let there be strength. Let there be abundance. Just let. You see how you're creating an opening for the I to express itself? You're standing still. You are stopped. You are waiting. You are watching. You are listening. You are bearing witness. You are beholding. You are standing stock still. He says, we do not try to make it so, because understanding the nature of God, we know that it is God's will to provide all good. Yes, mind is not a creator. And mind wants to try to create. The mind will say to you, oh, it's such a lovely day, let's go down to the beach. Put our toes in the water. And we say, yes, let's do that. And we load up the car and we go. If we would have stopped and had a meditation and surrendered and became receptive, we would have received the word, which would say something like, onto the mountains I am come. And we would say, wow, mountains. I wonder what that means. And we would feel nudged to go to the mountains today. And we would drive to the mountains, and perhaps we would pull off in a rest area, and there would be somebody else there reading a book of Joel Goldsmith. And something would happen between us, and we would both come away fulfilled. Do you see how spirit works? But spirit can't form that situation if you have your mind made up. If mind is running your life, you have to let consciousness form itself. You must be formed again by receiving the Holy Spirit, or by receiving consciousness, or by receiving the Father within. When the Spirit of God takes over in our consciousness, it fulfills itself at its own level. That's important too. When it flows through you and forms itself, you suddenly find that you have 12 baskets full left over, because it's fulfilling itself at its level. You suddenly find that you're teaching to a group of students because it's fulfilling itself at its level. You suddenly find, as Joel did, that you only need 3 hours sleep a night because it is fulfilling itself at its level. Okay, so now he gets a little bit personal here, and he says, my customary method of entering contemplative meditation is to open my ears for a second for a subject to be given me. You see, he doesn't even sit down with the subject. Even that he receives from within. Now here's a really nice example. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read all of it because it's just wonderful. This is his contemplative meditation. This is the day which the Lord has made. God made the sun to shine today, giving us light and warmth. God has provided the rain and the snow in their due seasons. God has regulated the incoming and outgoing of the tides. God has provided periods for sowing and for reaping, for activity and for rest. God governs this world with infinite wisdom, intelligence, and patience. This day I am God-governed. God is the intelligence directing the activity of my day, the still small voice protecting and sustaining me. This is my prayer that I be God-governed, that I never forget to seek God every moment of the day. Okay, we'll skip down here. God's grace is with me throughout the day. Now, you need to have that throughout the day. And he says the way to do that is to have several little meditations throughout the day, in which for 2 or 3 minutes we pause and we turn within and we listen. We might even say, Father, I'm taking this moment to listen. Father, fulfill thyself. Consciousness, form thyself. Christ, you express. And then we stand still. Then, having established myself in this meditation of words and thoughts, see, it's not yet meditation, is it? I can now enter the true meditation, or communion, in which I invite God, speak, Lord, thy will be done, not mine. After a short period of listening, our inner communion, stillness, quietness, and peace, the awareness of the presence is with me, and I am now free to go about my day's work. Okay, so true meditation is communion. True meditation is not words. True meditation is not thoughts. True meditation is not this contemplative meditation, because he even says, I can now enter true meditation. True meditation is that period where you are still. You are listening. So he says, the stress of the day, mesmerism of the world, it crowds in. So there must be another period of contemplative meditation. And this time it may take a different form. And he gives you another form. This is going back to the well. This is going back to the door of consciousness. When we go back to the well, we rest there. We rest. And we're receptive. And we're given water that springs up into life everlasting. It forms itself into life everlasting. So after his contemplative meditation, he says, then I wait for those few minutes of inner communion. Contemplative meditation, practiced faithfully, leads to a moment of silence. And I remember him saying that throughout his book, The Art of Meditation. It's in the moment of silence that you receive. This fellow behind me in the picture, Meher Baba, said something like, things that are real are given and received in silence. So it's in the silence that you will receive spirit or substance or consciousness. And then you'll be amazed while it forms itself. You don't push it out. You don't assist it. You don't help it. You watch. You bear witness. You behold. And that is when something comes to us. Out of that spiritual consciousness which we are. Yes, we receive. When you receive in your consciousness, it will form itself at its level. The day comes when we abide so much in the Word that we are more or less in it all the time. And in this stage, we have risen above the thinking mind. and it is no longer our master. Now it is our instrument. Okay, so at this stage, you rise above the mind. What is that? That's an ascension up over the mind. You are resurrected. You are formed again by consciousness. You are transformed. The third stage, that of conscious union with God. So he has three stages, right? Contemplative meditation, communion, and then union. And in this stage, the personal, separate selfhood disappears. It is as if one were not aware of himself as a person, but as if only God itself were there. Now that is the ultimate. God is forming itself, and only God is there. And this, he says, yes, at the end of this page, he says, and that ultimately is the destiny of every individual. When the presence is realized, we shall find that it takes form as new organs, new functions, new home, new family, new supply, new relationships, even a new parking space. I can of mine own self do nothing, is the man Jesus speaking. But then, as the presence is realized, and I'm feeling it right now, then I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And in fact, I know not of until it expresses itself. All right, so he says, there is an overturning and an overturning and an overturning in your individual consciousness until he comes whose right it is, and that he is God. There will be an overturning in our consciousness, and it will appear to us as a warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And oh, the human being dies so hard. He wants to know something. Did you know that? Wanting to know something is a personal sense expressing. But being still and receiving something that you know, well, that's Christ expressing. And I received some emails this week from some people that are dealing with this warfare between the flesh and the spirit. And I can only say, remember, the battle's not yours, but mine, saith the Lord. So again, go within, be receptive, listen, watch, wait, be still, be silent, just stop. And you will receive that inner movement, and it will fight the battles. You don't have to. And that's what I was told. You don't have to work that hard. You see, working hard is you, personally, forming your life. Or forming your meditation. Or forming your love. But remaining still until you feel the presence and hearing it announce itself, as it did to me when it said, you must be formed of consciousness. Ah, then, that's consciousness living itself. Meditation takes on a final phase, when in this nothingness of the individual, the Father speaks, the Father takes over, the Father heals, redeems, and instructs, and the Father lives your life. Eventually, every one of us will come to Paul's state of consciousness in the realization, I live, yet not I. Christ, the Son of God, the Spirit and presence of God, lives my life. It is true This may bring with it a sense of emptiness. But strangely enough, and this you'll only know by experience, with that sense of emptiness there comes a sense of completeness and perfection. It is a sense of having no qualities of our own, and yet feeling this transcendental presence and watching it live our life. We're watching. Now we have access to infinity. Infinite wisdom, infinite love, infinite life. The infinite source of all good. When we attain this contact with our source, we have also made contact with the source of every person's life and are now one with all spiritual being, all spiritual life. Which is why when you go into meditation for someone and they're reaching out to you, you are one with their consciousness and they are one with your consciousness. Okay? On the next page he says, as long as we succeed in making contact with our source, anybody, anywhere in the world who is turning to something greater than himself, turning to a God on any level, may benefit from our meditation. Every time God is released into this world through us, it has the opportunity of going out into the world and neutralizing some of the carnal influences in government. The Spirit itself is infinite, and it is just as infinite through one as it is through a million. That is why one with God is a majority. Remember, it fulfills itself on its level. So, when you are not being a person, and you have gone within and created this opening, and are standing by the well, ever receptive, you will receive that holy presence, and it will fulfill itself on its level, which is infinite. The ultimate of spiritual living is to live so completely in attunement with the source, God in the midst of us, that the influence of God which is flowing through us will flow out and be a law of good unto all who come within range of our consciousness. All right. Now, we talked a couple of times, we mentioned the well of your consciousness. And we need to go within and rest by that well. Well, that's what we're going to be talking about with John. And I love this. This is so deep. John is so deep here. Now he says, he cometh to a city of Samaria, and Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Okay, so the well is the well of consciousness. Jesus is the Christ. You've got to start reading this book as things that are taking place or will take place within you, if you're going to see what it's saying. So, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. All right, so this is Christ. This is I standing at the door and knocking. This is Christ sitting on the well of your consciousness. Those are both the same thing. And you come to the well. And she said, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So there you have the human mind is arguing with Christ, which is what it does. It sure as heck doesn't want to get out of the way and receive a drink. Now the Christ sitting on the edge of your consciousness says, well, I'm sure it says, will you be still for a minute? Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, if thou knewest the gift of God, what is the gift of God? This living water. When you receive dead water, you're receiving human thoughts. When you receive living water, you're receiving consciousness expressed. So the human mind goes back to arguing, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence, then, hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She's arguing again. With Christ. That's what the mind does. It argues. Jesus answered and saith unto her, this is Christ on the edge of your consciousness, knocking on the door of your consciousness. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Yeah, it's dead water. It can't give you life. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. He's telling you, let consciousness form itself. Be ye reformed. Be ye formed again. Be ye transformed. This water, when you are formed again, it will spring up into everlasting life. It's infinite on my level, says the Christ. It's everlasting. It's eternal on my level. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now Christ has an answer that she doesn't like. Go, call thy husband, and come hither. He's telling her to call the one that she's attached to. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. That's five. You are attached to the five senses. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. So, the Christ, sitting on the edge of her consciousness, says, I will give you everlasting life. It's a gift from God. Only be still. And what does she say? You've got nothing to draw with. How can you do this? Well, she has an inner realization, an intuitive feeling. After this whole dialogue, back and forth, she comes to the conclusion, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And now the Christ says, wrong again. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship God. Now he's going to tell you exactly what Joel said. Here's how you have a meditation, which is worshiping God. Becoming an instrument for God is worshiping God. All these songs and bowing down and everything, they're very nice traditions, but that's not how God wants to be worshiped. And so Christ says, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, okay, right here, right now, here's what you need to do to worship God. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Remember, spirit is consciousness. In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. God is consciousness. And they that worship him must worship him in consciousness and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Christ, on the edge of her consciousness, says, I that speak unto thee am he. Okay. There's how you meditate. That's how you worship. You come to the well. You stand still. You enter consciousness. You are receptive. And God will, you will receive God's spirit, God's substance, God's truth. And it will form itself. Here is a meditation from Joel. Close your eyes, and within yourself, silently, sacredly, secretly, and gently, say the word, I. That I in the midst of you is mighty. That I in the midst of you is greater than any problem in the outside world. That I in the midst of you has come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. That I has been with you since before Abraham was, awaiting your recognition and your acknowledgement. Yes, you must go within and recognize and acknowledge the I. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that the name of God is I, or I am? And that you are the temple of God only when you have admitted I into your consciousness and held it there secretly, sacredly, gently, peaceably, so that at any moment you can close your eyes and just remember I. This I that is in the midst of me is life eternal. This I that is within me is the He that is mighty. When Jesus speaks of the Father within, and when Paul speaks of the Christ that dwells in him, they are speaking of the I am, the very I that you are, the I that you have just announced that is in the midst of you. Now let us be still. Keep those eyes closed. Have I been so long a time with you, and you have not known me? Yes, I am the way. You have only to rest. Rest here, near the well of your consciousness. And I, the Father within you, Christ consciousness, will flow out. I will manifest. If you lift up the I within you, I will manifest. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all manifestation unto me. Means, your life will be my manifestation. Your life will be I manifesting. First as incorporeal, invisible, spiritual being. And then appearing out here as harmony, wholeness, completeness, perfection. It is time. It's time now for you to enter the Sabbath. The Sabbath is your consciousness when you come within and you rest. In the beginning, we took thought. We contemplated words, contemplated thoughts, contemplated scriptures and statements of truth. We affirmed them, and we denied error. Now has come the time for you to cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, and that means completely. Cease ye from being a man. Cease ye from being a woman. Cease ye from matter. Matter is a myth. Don't look to matter for good or for evil. Drop it. Stand still. Stop all matter for this moment within you. Rest. Stand still. Listen. I am the way. I will form myself. You will be transformed. You will be formed again into something not made by mind, but something eternal in the heavens. I fulfill myself at my level, and I have come to give that to you. Yes, if you understood the gift of God, which is that I am, you would have asked, please form yourself, and I would give you living water, living consciousness, which springs up into everlasting life, because now it's my life. It's I life. I am the life. Come and see what I have in store for you. I will restore the lost years of the locusts. I will restore your soul. The lost years of the locusts are, lo, these many years you lived by words and thoughts, by mind formed. But now, here, you are ready. You are ready. You are being initiated into the path of Christ consciousness forming itself. I will restore. You will bear witness. In the courtroom, when you're put on the stand, you bear witness to what you saw. And the defense or the prosecutor says, tell us what you saw. And you say what you witnessed. You're not allowed to elaborate on it. You can only say what you witnessed. I saw that man go into the store, and so on and so forth. When you read the testimony of some of the disciples, that's what's going on. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, consciousness is forming itself. And you here, in this resting place, in the stillness next to the well of your consciousness, you too will bear witness. You too will be able to say, all I did was stand still. I didn't try to make anything happen. I didn't try to create with the mind. I stood still, and I bore witness. And now I see a new earth and a new heaven, formed of consciousness. So let us do what Joel has said. When we see error, or when we see something appearing as good, let us get in here as fast as we can and surrender to consciousness. Father, consciousness, form thyself. Open my eyes to thy forms. Let me bear witness to consciousness formed. I rest. I form. It is up to you, my friends, and it is up to me, it is up to all of us who are being initiated to have these periods of silence, these periods of meditation, many of them through the day and night. In the beginning, it's us that must get the ball rolling. And yes, it requires some effort to remember to be effortless, to rest near the well of your consciousness. But as we go along, and we become more adept at getting in here fast as we can, and then standing still, we will see more and more consciousness forming itself. as a new day, as a new way, as a new partner, even though we've had the same partner for 35 years. Suddenly they're acting differently. The partner has become new. Wow. It really does transform. It really does reform. Suddenly we have an invention. Something comes to us, just like it came to me, that we must be formed again. It can also come as a new painting, a new sculpture, a new invention, a new song, a new building, a new highway. And we become adept at listening. So adept that it becomes the most important thing we have ever done. This art of listening. And we come to the well often. And here's the beautiful thing, or another beautiful thing. One day where you are aware that Christ is living its life through me, through you, through us. Christ is living. And we don't even know when it took over. We were becoming adept at coming within. And now we only have to smile or take a deep breath, even blink our eyes, and we see a new heaven and a new earth. It's all around us. It's in us. It is breathing us. Yes, and I and the Father are one consciously. Consciously one. Let